Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher / pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Charlie, how are we doing this evening?
We're doing good.
We are doing good. I went down to see you, Charlie, at your work today, because usually you work on Tuesdays, and I didn't see you down there.
I went in at 2 this afternoon.
Ah, okay. We were there a little bit before then. So we must have just missed you. So, today we are going to talk about, ready, question format, are demons real? Charlie, before we get into any of the scriptures and stuff, what's your opinion? Are demons real?
Yes, they are.
Demons still in effect today?
Oh, yes.
Is it kind of nice to have a little demon spirit or familiar spirit or whatever you want to call them, a guide? Or there's all kinds of different names for them. Is it the cool in thing in the Christian world to, entertain demonic beings or allow them to, have access or power over you?
Not in my life. No. I don't want any of them.
I don't blame you. Neither do I, my friend. Neither do I. All right. So today we are going to start a series on I call it the Delivered from Darkness series. We're going to start setting it up today, talking a little bit about demonic activity, all according to the Word of God, perhaps a few testimonies that Charlie and I have had in our lives. And, we'll get people steered into, some things that could be happening to people that are listening online. Would you like to open us in Scripture, my friend?
Do what again?
Would you like to open us up in Scripture? I mean, in prayer, I'm sorry.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again to come. And Lord, we're asking that those that are listening, that Lord, you'll touch their hearts, you'll minister substance and life to them. And Lord, that they might receive your word and that it might change them and transform them and cause them to turn to you with their whole heart, that they might be free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Charlie, I want to tell you, I enjoyed myself church and afterwards, the fellowship we had afterwards this past Sunday, and it was nice to see that we've just started up the home church here, and we had a pretty good turnout here Sunday.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
For those of you who don't know, Charlie does a little bit of everything. He preaches, he teaches, he does the music, he helps me with the, show me how to do the sound system. He does a little bit of everything, and I really appreciate what he does and the efforts that he puts in, and I enjoy working with him with the Lord. He's a little bit older in the Lord than I am, but I am definitely better looking than he is, so it kind of pans out or evens out.
Yeah, it does.
I'm joking. I am only joking here. All right, so get your Bibles out, get your pens and papers out. We like to have a good time. We like to teach you truth, but we can't always be filled with doom and gloom. We just like to teach you truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth will bring us revelation. And sometimes, Charlie, I believe you can just have a little fun, in the Christian faith. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I don't think God, sits there with a gloomy look all the time. I think he enjoys and he loves. And I'll bet you he has probably the best sense of humor out of anybody or anything.
I'm sure of that. It reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw one time, and I thought about getting one and putting on my vehicle, and it says, "Jesus heals the mully gloves."
That's funny. All right, so just before
you got the mully gloves, Jesus heals them.
That's funny. Just before we get going, I've had a request to open the chat room. So I am going to attempt to open the chat room. So just be patient with me if you're listening on the air right now. I am going to attempt to open a chat room, but I have to break my thing up into two different segments here. And so let's go here, here, there. Give me 1 second, Charlie, and we will get underway. It's loading, it's loading, it's loading. And there it is. So, Brother Joey, if you're listening, the chat room is now open. I'm sure he wants to probably ask us questions. And so they don't call in, we can get them in the chat. That works too. So, and we'll see where we go from there. All right, so today we are going to start in James chapter 2, verse 19. These are going to be, I've got three scriptures. There's many more than three scriptures here. But we're going to set up evidence, scripturally speaking, about demons. Charlie, would you like to read verse chapter 2, verse 19?
It says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble."
Now, the Amplified says that you believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe and shudder in terror and horror, such as makes a man's hair stand up on end in contact with the surface of his skin. So, Charlie, I've been in deliverance ministry for quite a while. I've had the opportunity and the awesome privilege of evicting quite a few out in Jesus' name. And I'll never forget the first time I came face to face with a demonic being, casting him out in the name of in the name of Jesus Christ. And when that demon manifested, my hair on my head stood up, my hair on my arms, my whole body stood up. And I'm going to tell you something. That scripture right there lines right up with what was happening, there. So I don't know if you've ever had any encounters like that, but boy, that first one was probably the scariest for me.
Well, yes, I have.
But since then, as we got older and realized who we are in Christ, they're really nothing. They're nothing. They're just all windbags. All right. So in James chapter 2, verse 9, it's saying that you believe that there is a God, you do well, but even the devils and the demons believe and they tremble. So with that, now let's turn over to Mark chapter 3, verse 11.
Okay. "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God."
Whoa. Woo. Imagine that. They knew. They knew.
Yes, they did.
They knew. And in the Amplified, it says, "And the spirits, the unclean ones, as often as they might see him, fell down before him and kept screaming out, You are the Son of God." Well, I got good news, Charlie. The Son of God is our Lord and Savior, and we have the Holy Ghost inside of us because that's the Spirit of God. And the same Holy Ghost that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, who was down in hell making a show of all these demons openly, resides in you and I.
Yes, he does.
Amen, brother?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, now with that, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10, read verse 1.
Matthew 10:1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease."
Whew. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Joey from Fire Influence Podcast says, "Hello, Brother Dean, and hello, Brother Charlie." Hello, Brother Joey.
Hello, Joey.
Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining and listening to us, my friend. All right. So now we've established, Charlie, in James, Mark, and Matthew, and there is literally many more scriptures that'll say the same thing. But we've established in scripture that demons, at least in that time frame, were evident. Would you agree?
Yes, yes they were.
Okay. So now with that, first of all, demons are indeed very, very real. Would you say, Charlie, that Christians get attacked by demonic spirits today?
Yes, definitively. It's I think it's increasing because in my own personal life, we have things come against us literally on a daily basis that we have to deal with. some of them are not so strong, but others are stronger. And we have to be aware that there's spirits out there. They were assigned to us. Some of them have been around for long years, and they know everything about us, and they know how to try to trip us up. We have to be diligent in everything we do.
Amen. Amen. Would you say that perhaps, demons could have been or assigned to a person perhaps before, when they were in their mother's womb, or maybe even to a forefather, like a grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather? Is that possible?
That's an entire possibility, because it's almost like some things are passed down generationally. I'll be the first to admit I don't understand all of that and how all of that works, but I do know that there is some things that seems like it's passed down generationally, because when people are involved with certain things, they have a tendency to follow those things. I found out through prayer ministry that back in my background, and I checked it out in the natural, and found out that in my natural family, there were some people that had occult practices in their life. And that was one reason why in my teen years, I gravitated toward those occult practices.
What is it that you think that draws a person to it? You think it's some sense of like power or something like that?
I can only speak for me in that sense, because what drew me toward it is that I saw something significant in it. I saw something spiritual in it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was in my teens. I had attended church, but the churches I attended didn't really offer me a whole lot. And when I got into that stuff, I saw a spiritual dimension that was real. And I said, oh, this is for real. And but again, because of what was in my background that I was unaware of, I had a tendency to be drawn toward that.
Yeah, I know that my grandfather used to do what they call water witching, which in itself you wouldn't think that was very bad, but he could actually get that rod to go down and literally find water, but that's an occultic practice. And his family line, his grandfather used to be able to do levitation and actually have the tables and stuff come up, and so that was in our family line.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I had to renounce later on in my Christian life when I started to understand it and learn about it. God was showing me that I actually understood and renounced and broke that by the blood of Jesus.
That's exactly right. I had to do the same thing. Once I began to understand it, I had to renounce it and deal with it.
When I was a child, I remember I was about 10 years old. This was before I'd become born again. I had a bunch of warts all over my fingers. And, of course, when you're a kid and you have warts on your fingers, they make fun of you and stuff. And we tried a few things, and it didn't work. And my grandmother actually took little strings, and she tied knots, the same amount of knots in the string, and buried them under the ground because that was an old wives' tale. Ended up realizing later on that it was actually witchcraft. And by doing so, all the warts went away. So that was another thing that I had to renounce, was that witchcraft when I was younger in my life.
I had a similar thing. I had warts all over my hand. I had several large ones. And my mother told me, says, well, the deputy sheriff up there says, you need to go see him. And so I went up to see him, and he looked at my warts. He took my hand, and he rubbed it, and he rubbed it, and he rubbed it, and he said some things I didn't understand. And he said, just don't worry about it. They'll go away. Within about, I guess, about a week or 10 days, the warts were completely gone.
Hmm.
And later, as I realized what was going on and got educated in these things, I had to renounce the fact that I had allowed literally a warlock to cast a spell on me. That's what it amounted to. That's what it amounted to.
Well, and you know something? These demons are very real. We've already proved it in Scripture that demons, even back then, they were very real. We talked about Saul and the witch and how she would conjure up demons several weeks ago. So they were prominent all throughout the Word of God. Jesus dealt with them all the time, child. He was always casting them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the scripture tells us that in the later days, there would be an increase in demonic activity here upon the earth. And I don't know about you, brother, but since my early years, I don't know if it's maybe because I didn't pay attention to it or what, but man, as I get older in the Lord, I see more and more and more of demonic oppression in these days.
As we grow in the Lord, you experience both. You experience the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and the grace and the mercy of God in your life, and you also become more sensitive to that and to the Lord dealing with you and speaking to you and encouraging you and that type of thing. But you also become aware that there's a dark side, that you become more aware of that as well, that you see that there's all these things going on, that if it were not for the grace of God, we'd be in serious trouble as believers.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's a good point right there. So now with that, let's turn over to 2 Peter 2:4, and let's see if we can find some scriptures about perhaps when demonic beings, you know, where they originated from. Now, Charlie, I know, I'm sure you have. I've heard all kinds of stories that they were the disembodied souls of the, you know, of the flood. And I can't find that anywhere in scripture. But I've heard that. You know, is it possible? I suppose it's possible. But Charlie, you know that you and I, we like to go with just with what the Word of God says. And we don't like to just make up things. But 2 Peter 2:4.
Yes. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment."
So we know that when Satan rebelled against God, and then he sits down there and the devil, he must have been pretty good at what he did, because he convinced about a third of the angels to follow him. And I think he even thought that he could get more, to be honest with you, Charlie. And so we know that God cast him and the other angels out. Those are the fallen angels. Now, do you? I've heard people say both sides, that fallen angels are demons and that fallen angels are actually in a higher class than demonic beings.
I've heard that too. And when you go through scripture, you read about fallen angels and you read about demons. But again, I've heard the theories. I've read, you know, what people have had to say about that. But I haven't really found a place in scripture that validates where all of them came from. But many believe that it was the disembodied spirits from the flood. But we really don't know. We don't have a concrete scripture to back that up. But
that's
came
right.
From somewhere. They came from somewhere.
Well, they did come from somewhere. Absolutely. Amen. All right. Now let's turn over to Jude. Chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, just before Revelation. And let's read Jude 1, 6.
Is it 1, 6 or 1, 16?
1, 6. I probably sent you 1, 16. I apologize.
All right, give me a second and I'll get it. All
right. Jude, chapter 1, verse 6.
Okay. I like it in the Amplified. The angels who did not keep their own designated place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has kept in eternal chains under the thick gloom of utter darkness for the judgment of the great day.
Amen.
So right now there are angels that's in chains that have not been allowed to be let loose. There's some interesting theories that go with that, and that there might be some substance to them. But they're in a place where they're still in chains, and they're going to be reserved for the judgment of the great day. That's at the return of the Lord when that judgment will take place.
Now, can you imagine the ones that are free and out causing chaos and you know, killing, stealing, and destroying? Now, child, there's even worse ones that are being chained up. They're so bad they can only be used in the last days.
Yeah.
So if we can't get through them now, can you imagine when the other ones are let out? It's literally going to be hell on earth. But, Charlie, thank God that the rapture's coming, my brother.
I know the parousia is coming.
So, That's a little inside joke right there. We do believe, people, that Jesus Christ is indeed coming back. Now, the rapture, is he coming the rapture of the church away from judgment? That's a total, that's a story for a different day. But I can tell you, I promise you, that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed coming back.
No question about that.
So now, let's touch on what's a demon's function? What are demons' function? Why are they here? All right, let's go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 22.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.
Well, the Amplified says, My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon. So one of the reasons demons come upon the earth right now is because they want to torment people. They want to distress them. They want to be cruel. They want to cause torment, suffering on a person. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Brother Joey just said, "Wow! As soon as I shared this podcast on my pages, my internet just went out." Well, that's a typical ploy of the devil right there. Oh, that's funny.
I promise you, I know from personal experience that the devil gets into electronic equipment. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, of course. Of course. That is funny. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5 and read verse 5.
And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That speaks of the Gadarene demoniac right there.
Yes. Yes. So when he's crying out, would you say that there was some kind of mental torment, maybe some insanity? It wasn't in his right mind, some distress perhaps in his life?
Well, I have looked at this and studied this thing, and the only conclusion that I can come to is that this man was so literally possessed by these things, and I mean that in the right sense, that they literally owned him, that he literally had no volition of his own. He was totally controlled by these things. And there was, you know, because it spoke in their scripture about they would bind him with chains and he'd break the chains and on and on and on it would go. And people were trying to do the best they could for them, but they couldn't handle him because he was just a wild man. I mean, he was wild. And so literally he had, as far as I can tell, he had no volition of his own. He couldn't say, I'm going to stop this. He couldn't say, I'm going to control this. It's like those things controlled him. This would be a classic case, I think, of what we could see as what we would call demon possession. Because
there you go.
He literally had no control over himself.
That's right. Now, a lot of people will sit down and they'll turn around and say, well, this person's possessed by, you know, a demon, or that person's possessed, or that person's possessed. Well, Charlie, I know you've been in it probably longer than I have, but I've seen so many, I've witnessed so many just in my lifetime. Possession, that word possession means to be totally controlled. It means you have no function whatsoever. Just like you said with that demoniac that was sitting down there, he was totally possessed by Legion.
Yes, he was.
And most people today, that I've seen anyways, are not really possessed. They're what we call oppressed. And most people, yes, including Christians, because a lot of Christians tell you that demons, I mean, that Christians can't be possessed by demons. And in a sense, they're right. They can't be possessed, but they can indeed be oppressed. And it usually happens in your mind, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, or physically, your body.
I think I can agree with that without any controversy, because there are people that have influences in their life that crop up from time to time, and those influences in their life that crop up from time to time can momentarily take over them, but yet they can still function in society. They can hold down a job. You know, they can do a lot of different things. But every once in a while, this thing will crop up. And that, to me, is not possession. That is oppression. That is that is something that's oppressing them, or it's something that has triggered something in their mind and in their emotions, and it causes a reaction. That's to me, a better definition of what it would be of being oppressed by Satan or the demons as being possessed.
Right. And from what I've witnessed, most of it has been oppression. There's been something up in their mind. We call them different names. Like, I'll call them like a blocker demon. You know, they're just certain things that do that. There's ones that will make it so that you can't remember. They'll make it so that you can't understand. There's a lot of demons, and what they do is they have certain bits or pieces of your mind that they can control, and that's called demonic oppression. It's not possession, because again, possession means that they have total control over your functions.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people will have demonic issues or oppression. They'll come to a deliverance ministry, or we call them Holy Ghost revival meetings, and they'll come forward to prayer because that person that's inside that body still has reasoning, still has some functioning, and they're seeking to be set free from that demonic oppression.
Yes, they are.
Now, a lot of times it's caused by something traumatic when they were younger, and they carry it on as they get older and older and older. That demonic oppression becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And you see a lot of that in the body of Christ today.
Well, in some of my own experiences in my early years, in my in my preteen years and in my early teens, I had some rather traumatic experiences. But it's by the grace of God that when I became born again, that there were people that were around me that prayed with me, that we were able to deal with these things, and some of them were pretty traumatic. And what I would do is when someone would speak to me or say something to me or act a certain way, I would react out of what happened to me way back there. You follow me?
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes, and this is the truth of the matter, sometimes it would get to the point to where it would be like momentarily I would blank out and I would act out in a certain way. When it was identified and prayed for and dealt with, that stopped. And the traumatic experience, though I remember it, it does not have the hold on me that it had years ago. It does not. It's not there.
Amen. You know, this is my favorite. And again, I've studied this for a long time, many hours of study and personal experience through other people and myself. But this is my favorite thing. The generation today is brought up on these on PlayStation or Xbox One, and you know, if you play in like a sports game or something like that, I guess you could become obsessive about all these games. They have so many satanic games out there. These people get wrapped up in them, they get entangled with them, and then demonic beings can actually start working in their minds. And then they'll sit down, and this generation, all the doctors will say, well, they have HDAD or ADD and all this and all that. And what I believe it is, Charlie, a good share of it, it's demonic. It's demonic oppression because of where these kids, their minds always are. And I believe that they're being programmed.
Yes,
and
they are. And,
I think that's the problem.
I remember reading an article. I wish I had it in front of me if I knew we were going to talk about this, but I've got it somewhere. I'm sure of it. But the physician that declared ADHD came out just a few short years ago, and he renounced it. And he said we put a label on something that does not exist. He says ADHD does not exist. And so even the doctor who coined that is now saying that it does not exist. And so we have to, and as a result of that, they load these kids up on all these medications. And the medications don't really do much good for them.
No.
And so we have to watch that. But yes, I have a tendency to agree with that because of the generations coming up with all the technology and all the stuff like that, I've watched these young kids. they cannot get away from that electronic device. It owns them. They can't put it down. They have to have it with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're always texting or they're on Facebook or they're somewhere. They can't leave it alone. And this has to be demonically inspired because it causes that type of thing. And if they get into these games, I remember the first one that I saw, that when I saw someone playing it, I cringed. It was World of Warcraft. I saw that and I cringed. I said, that is nothing but demons.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I said, you're playing with demons. You're inviting demons in. Oh, no. It's just a game. It's just a game. It's just a game. It's just a game. It's a game full of demons is what it's a game full of. And they've gotten worse and worse and worse since then. The games I see advertised on TV now, I wouldn't go anywhere near them.
No. Nope. I agree. I'm with you 100%. And you've seen where it almost makes it so the generations. I have an 11-year-old daughter that's going through middle school right now. And it's almost like not only are they doing things like that, but they're almost like training the kids to do things the long way and almost, for lack of a better reason, make them dumber, not as smart.
Yes.
You make it so your mind is not as sharp.
Yes.
By the things that they're doing.
Yeah, it's called the Common Core. But they've been dumbing down the generations for a long time. And it really started back in my generation in the 60s. They started this educational thing. Actually started before then, but they really began to put it into place in the 60s to begin to train people to think a certain way and to act a certain way so that they control them. They could control the masses by what they do, by what they say, by what's programmed. Why do you think they call television programming?
I never thought about it before, but that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah. And when you break away from that, all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in, you become an enemy.
Wow. That's good stuff right there. So back to Mark chapter 5, verse 5. There's another part here. He's crying and he's cutting himself with stones. So one of the signs that you can see if a person is perhaps possessed, but more than likely he's oppressed, is they'll cut themselves. And I've dealt with several people that are cutters. You can see the scars on their hands and stuff. And the reason why they cut themselves is, number one, is because they're sitting down to the demons are telling them to hurt themselves, to draw blood. And number two, they do that because of the mental torment, and I've been told by several of them that when they cut themselves, it gives them physical pain and takes their mind off the mental torment or the emotional pain for a minute or two, and that's the reason why they do that. And that's a classic sign, of demon habitation in their mind.
Yes, that's a good sign for it. I don't have any personal experience with it, but I have read of young girls, and they would tell the story that the reason why they became cutters is because they were sexually abused when they were children. So you see, that
all right, now, so,
of a traumatic experience.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we know in Matthew 15:22 that they, that the jobs are the torment. Mark 5:5, they cause mental torment and cause people to hurt themselves. Now let's go to Luke 13 and read verse 11.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. That's a physical infirmity there.
Right. And it says, I like to amplify it. It says, and there was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. Did you know what that is right there? That's what the doctors call today. Are you ready for this? That's what is called scoliosis of the spine. She had scoliosis. I have a question here, Charlie, in chat. A gentleman by the name of Cole Orton, do you think exorcisms performed by the Catholic Church work? If they do work, as they appear to, do that make Catholicism the correct faith? Surely. Well, Charlie, that's all yours.
Thank you. I have problems with that. And the reason why I have problems with that is that in the scriptures, the Bible that we have, it tells us that we only cast out demonic spirits in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Thank you,
Jesus.
We
don't have to go through any rituals. We don't have to say a bunch of prayers. We don't have to use holy water. We don't have to use any of that stuff. The Bible says that when we are in our right place with the Lord, that we as Christian believers, those who have confessed Christ as their Savior and been blood-bought through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can speak to those things in the name of Jesus Christ and they must depart.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go one step further. Ready? I'm going to step out. And I'm going to ask a question for your question, Cole Orton. All right? Now, Catholics say that they can perform exorcism. If we go back to the Ten Commandments, there's Ten Commandments that God used basically to uphold the law, or to be honest with you, to show people that they were not capable of following the law. And but if you have the Catholic priest, which was started after paganism, we'll get into that sometime. But if you have the Catholic priest who sits down and the priest takes the place of Jesus Christ, so when you go and you pray and ask for forgiveness, you're not asking Father God for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. You're asking a father or a priest to forgive you and tell you to say a couple of Hail Marys or whatever they do, and you're asking that priest to forgive you. You're not asking God. So that's strike one against the Catholic Church. Number two, if you sit, one of the Ten Commandments clearly tells us that we're to bow down to no graven image, only God himself. I have a problem when they go down and they have these statues of St. Peter, St. Jude, whoever, this and that, and they always bow down to these images. So you're going against what the Ten Commandments says. So that's strike two. And strike three, the Bible says that we're to pray to God in the name of Jesus, and the Catholics will pray to God in Mary's name and hold on to a bunch of beads and pray to Mary and not God. So to answer your question, do I think exorcisms performed by the Catholic Church work? Answer, no, they don't. Not if they're not using and operating under the power of the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus Christ. And we have an example where the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to lay hands on a demonic person. They didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord. They tried to use the name of Jesus, and they were stripped naked and almost left for dead. You have to have the power and authority of Jesus Christ in order to be able to evict demons out of people, period. And you have to have the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're not Holy Ghost filled and you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost residing inside of you, then bam. He just asked another question. They say that the Pope is the holy representative of God on earth. And wasn't the first ever Pope an apostle of Jesus, if I remember correctly?
No.
Charlie says no. Charlie is schooled much more in the history than I am with this. What does the Pope tell them what the Pope represents here on earth, Charlie?
The Pope, I didn't know we were going to get into all this, but the Pope wears a tiara, and on that tiara is the word Vicar of Christ. And what he's saying is that I, the Pope, am Christ on earth. So therefore, me being Christ on earth, you owe your allegiance and your worship to me. That's what it means.
Well, we could get into a whole series, on different faiths. But hopefully, Cole Orton, we answered your question for a little bit and get you to dig into the Word of God and to see for yourself just exactly how a demon is to be cast out.
Yes. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Right.
His name.
So in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, we had a woman who was bowed over. She couldn't even see straight. She had scoliosis, and that scoliosis, so that being bowed over, was caused by a demonic spirit. So again, sickness and affliction can be caused by demonic spirits. So with that, let's go to Acts chapter 5. And let's read verse 16.
5:16. Okay. Let me get it up here right quick.
And again, for those at home, Acts chapter 5, verse 16.
Acts 5 and verse 16. And the people from the towns and the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all being healed.
So again, Charlie, this is talking about sickness and affliction. So demonic beings can and do cause sickness and disease.
Yes, it does. Because it says right there, they brought them from everywhere.
Right. Cole Orton just said that, there's so many because there's so many sects of Christianity these days, you see, all claim to be the correct faith. It's Catholicism, Protestant, Orthodox, Coptic, Reformed, Catholic, etc. And you're absolutely right, my friend. There's a lot of sects out there, or sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Christianity. But there's only one Jesus Christ, and there's only one body of Christ. And the body of Christ that teaches that Jesus is Lord and operates under the authority and power of the Holy Ghost, that's the true Christians walking the earth today.
The true Christian believer.
All right, so now, the true Christian believer. And if you want to know what a true Christian believer is, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18 will tell you exactly how a true believer in Christ operates. So now,
if I could interject, one of the thing about the religious cults and all is that all of them combined together is you have to be in order to be saved. It's confession of faith in Christ and this or and that or and the other. The true faith in Jesus Christ is that we are saved by faith. Through Jesus
Amen.
Christ, no ands, no pluses, no negatives, no nothing. Nothing is added. If something is added, then they're teaching a false doctrine.
It wasn't salvation.
Of Jesus
yep.
Christ and only through Christ, and that's the confession of faith, and we're saved by faith. Nothing else.
All right, so this Cole Orton is saying, don't all paths lead to God. So we know right now, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Satan, I bind you right now. You will not cause confusion. You will not cause dissension, and you will not play with us. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, we just praise you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would protect this radio show right now and that your will be done and no one else's. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you,
amen.
Lord. All right, so now we are in the devil and his demons come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about the Christians. He's already got the world, so he doesn't need to come and come against them. He comes against the Christian, the body of Christ. And with that, let's go over to John chapter 10, verse 10.
He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they have it more abundantly.
Amen. So we know right here, who's the thief, Charlie?
Oh, that's Satan.
And his demons, right? I mean, Satan's the thief, and his other little robbers are the demons that, he comes and works with. With that, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 9.
Yeah, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Amen. I like the Amplified version. It says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams about like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So again, the devil comes to devour the Christians. So we know that the devil is coming against the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, we do.
So we know that the demons come to cause torment, to cause hurt or harm upon yourself. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the demons do the exact same thing. And they bring sickness, disease, and affliction upon people to bind them up. And basically, they try to steal your salvation, if at all possible. They try to get you to renounce. If not, they want to make your life miserable so that you can't fulfill your legacy or your destiny in Christ. Or at least, the very least, Charlie, they try to slow you down and get your eyes off of God and get them focused on the issues that you're going through, that you won't preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. The enemy will come and remind you of, you know, past acts you've done and past things you've done and how you missed it here and how you missed it there and how you missed it over yonder. And he'll come and just torment you up one side and down the other. But if we walk with the Lord, we will be clean before him. We have to stay in him. If we stay in him, then the devil can come and bring those things. And we can say to him, no, no, devil, I am the righteousness of God. I am washed by his blood. I have faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. I don't need anything else except Christ. And we remind, as one old preacher told me years ago, he said, the devil will remind you of your past every day. He said, you turn around and remind him of his future.
There you go. Amen. Yeah, his future doesn't look so good, not compared to the rest of us who are going up to be with our Lord.
That's right.
And our God. All right, now, let's go over to Mark chapter 13 and read Mark 13:22.
For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. There's a real message in that one.
Oh, boy. There's a big message right there.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
I Amplify says, false Christ or messiahs and false prophets will arise and show signs and work miracles to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, those God has chosen out for himself. So we're starting to show here, Charlie, by all this, that demons are very real. Demons are here doing very bad things to people and causing chaos even as we speak. We touched at things are going to get worse, that there's some fallen angels that have actually been chained up down in hell, that when they're released, is going to make it really bad here. And so we need to recognize things. We need to recognize who we are in Christ and not just be like most Christians, Charlie, and stick our heads in the sand and say, well, I don't believe in that demon stuff.
Go right ahead.
And yeah. Jesus Christ is our example. The word Christ or Christians means to be Christ-like. So the first thing that he did many times, even when he sent his disciples out, the first things that they ran into was demonic oppression or demonic possession of people. And they dealt with it. And Jesus dealt with it.
Yes, they did.
And when these people were these demons were dealt with in these people were truly set free.
Yes, they were.
They were truly set free. So demons, devil and demons can cause even the elect to walk away if we're not rooted and grounded in Christ or abiding in Him and living our lives. And the big key, you didn't think you'd get away with a show without me saying this, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost power, I'm telling you right now, Charlie, you know this, but I'm telling you, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and operating in the Holy Ghost power, my Bible tells me that through Christ, all things are possible. And that word Christ means the anointing or the Holy Ghost. And boy, since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've had some pretty sticky things come against me. But, Charlie, we've always gotten through with it because of, my Father up in heaven, Jesus, His blood, His word, and the power of the Holy Ghost.
One consolation that I have is that the Lord promised us many. It didn't say little. It said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen.
It does not mean we'll be exempt from them. We will be right in the midst of them. But with our trust in the Lord, He will deliver us from them. He will make a way for us. He will preserve us. He will rescue us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, in the scriptures, now we're going to start to see. So I think we've proven, scripturally speaking, and again, these are just a handful of scriptures. You go look the word, you're going to see this everywhere in the New Testament, and even in the Old. But what we've given you, we've shown you some of the characteristics of the demons. We've shown you that they're real. We've shown you what happened and how they were sent down here. We all have different things. That Cole Ortner here did say that he's an atheist, by the way. So it took me a little bit, but we caught that. And Charlie, a person's an atheist. I've heard of an atheist. They didn't believe in God, but boy, when they were dying, a lot of them crawled out to Jesus and saw that God's a loving God and that Jesus died for the entire world, and they accepted Christ on their deathbed. So there are not many ways to heaven. As far as I know, there's only one, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, now, let's talk about some demons and some of the names that they go by or what they do we'll get into this. This will be good right here, and I'll show you some things in Scripture. Luke 11, verse 14.
And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered.
And in the Amplified, it says, now when Jesus driving out a demon that was dumb, and it occurred that when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. Well, there's kind of a double thing in here. If a demonic being goes up against a man or a woman of God who's Holy Ghost filled, I do agree with Scripture. They are pretty dumb. So they are pretty dumb. And but what is a deaf and dumb spirit?
They can't speak and they can't hear.
Right. So it's a deaf and mute person, correct?
Yes.
So there are demonic beings that can actually make it so that you can't hear and you can't speak. Or you could actually say sometimes when they don't speak, it could be a learning disability or there could be a demon that just basically controls the person's lips so that they can't speak or their vocal cords. So there are things that demonic beings can do. Now, Charlie, does this mean that everybody who is deaf or perhaps doesn't speak, does that mean that they're all demon-possessed?
No.
No. No, there are things that can happen, correct?
There are things that can happen, and there are the aspects of actually being born that way. And sometimes people have been able to hear through corrective surgery and other things. It does not mean that they're automatically have demonic activity in their life.
That's right. That's right. So, and thank God for the doctors, because I don't know about you, Charlie, but I've been to the doctor several times in my life, and I hadn't gone a couple times. I might not be preaching on the radio today.
I know I wouldn't.
That's right. I know you wouldn't either. You're right. But
I know that I wouldn't.
So sometimes, you know, there's just things in us that are broken or that ain't working for whatever reason, and they can be corrected by doctors. But sometimes it's caused by demonic oppression, and that can be corrected through the Holy Ghost. And I got news for you, even if it's not a demon, the Holy Ghost can heal you as well.
Amen.
So God gives us many different ways. He wants us all well, and he wants us all healed. And he'll meet us where we're at, you know, every single time. So let's go to Mark chapter 5 and read verse 8. Here's where I might get you to disagree with me here.
Mark 5:8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.
Mark 5. You got there so fast there. Mark 5:8. It says, for Jesus was commanding, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. I looked that up. You know what that unclean spirit was?
What was that?
Now, he's talking about legion here. So there is many demons that are in this person. But he came out and he said unclean spirit. He didn't say unclean spirits. He said unclean spirit. That unclean spirit was an immortal spirit. It was the main spirit in him. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Charlie, say a person has several demons inside of them and stuff. Have you ever in ministry prayed over somebody and for whatever reason, you would cast a demon out, that person would be okay for a few days, and then they'd get right back into something else again? Has that ever happened to you in ministry at all?
Yes, it has. And what I discovered was, is there was a, how would you say, a head devil in them?
Like a main one one in command.
Yeah, like one in command or something like that. And at the time, for some reason, the Lord didn't avail us to that information and we weren't aware of it, or either that spirit was hiding or masking and it wasn't picked up for some reason. But again, and then those people they'd say, well, I'm free, and they go right back into the same thing again until it was discovered that main spirit was dealt with. And sometimes, Dean, I've discovered that the people wanted to keep that main devil, so they would allow him to be hid while they tried to deal with the others. They wanted to keep that one, and I don't understand that at all.
I don't either. Now, we've only got 2 minutes left, so I'll ask you this one last question, your opinion on this. If a person doesn't want to be set free, should we pray over that person to evict that devil?
No.
And the reason being?
And the reason being, it doesn't do any good, because if you cast it out, the scriptures tell us that if you cast a spirit out and it comes back and finds a house clean, it'll bring seven more with him worse than himself.
There you go. So basically, what would happen is that person would be in a worse state than he was before.
That's exactly right. We can speak to them and bind them up and speak to the Lord, you know, not allow them to operate until such time as deliverance comes. But don't cast them out, no.
That's right. All right, we got a minute and a half left. We have to stop here. We'll start Thursday. We'll pick it up again, Charlie. We'll go with part two on demons. And briefly, real quickly, any ideas what we're going to be doing with Bible study tomorrow night, live on Facebook?
Well, I'm probably going to continue the direction I'm going in, and I think the next lesson we're going to deal with the resurrection of the dead.
Awesome. I look forward to that. So we will be on at 7 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow on Facebook, right, Charlie?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
All right. And Friday, don't miss us Thursday for the next radio show. We'll do part two on this. And Friday, we'll be doing Holy Ghost Revival meetings here in Concord, New Hampshire at 7:30 p.m. If you have any questions, message us, and we will give you directions on how you can get there. So anything else you want to add, Charlie? We've got about 30 seconds.
We're good to go. The Lord bless the people and touch them and heal them and deliver them in Jesus' name.
Amen. So we love you all. Thank you for listening. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.
I knew that Dyke Hole was a demon.
Oh, yeah.